वर्स नंबर 26। श्रोत्रादीनिन्द्रियाण्यन्ये सम्यमाग्निषु जुह्वति शब्दादीन् विषयान् अन्ये इन्द्रियाग्निषु जुह्वति। सो टुगेदर श्रोत्रादीनिन्द्रियाण्यन्ये सम्यमाग्निषु जुह्वति शब्दादीन् विषयान् अन्ये इन्द्रियाग्निषु जुह्वति। सो जुह्वति मीन्स् दे आफर् इन् सेक्रिफैस्। वाट् डु दे आफर्? श्रोत्रादीनि इन्द्रियान् अन्ये। सो श्रोत्र मीन्स् हियरिङ्ग्। सो हियरिङ्ग् एट्सेट्रा। सो वेन् दे से हियरिङ्ग् एट्सेट्रा मीन्स् आल् आर् इन्क्लूडेड्। हियरिङ्ग्, सीयिङ्ग्, स्मेलिङ्ग्, टेस्टिङ्ग्, टचिङ्ग्, अन्ये अदर् पीपल् आफर् आल् देर् सेन्स् आर्गन्स् वेर् संयम। संयम मीन्स् कण्ट्रोल्, इन् सेल्फ् कण्ट्रोल्। सो द सेन्स् आर्गन्स् आर् फङ्क्षनिङ्ग् बट् अण्डर् मै कण्ट्रोल्। सो दे आफर् आल् द सेन्स् आर्गन्स् इन् द फायर् आफ् कण्ट्रोल्। सो यु मीन् ऐ पुट् मै सेन्स् आर्गन्स् इन् द फायर्? मै ऐस्, नोज़, इयर्? नो, इट् इस् सिम्बालिक्। Just as you are offering in the fire, so here the fire is self-control. Samyam agnishu juhvati. And what about anye? Others do? Shabda adi vishayan anye. So sound, etc. Sound, again, you know, sound, smell, taste, touch, hearing, and, you know, hearing, smelling, tasting, touching, seeing. So the sense objects, some people offer the sense organs into the fire of control. Others offer sense objects into Indriya Agnishu Juhvate. So the sense objects are offered in the fire of the senses. So some people offer this, control the sense organs. Others offer sense objects in the fire of the senses. So what do we mean by that? So here, if you remember in the Sadhan Chatushtaya or the qualifications of a seeker, there is Vivek, discrimination, Vairagya is dispassion, and then there is Shama, Dama, Adi, Shat, Sampatti. So there are six qualities: Shama, Dama, Uparati, Titiksha, Shraddha, Samadhan. So and then the last one is Mumukshutvam or intense desire for liberation. So Dama and Shama, these are the requisites for a spiritual seeker. So what is Dama? Dama is control of the senses and Shama is control of the mind. So the first line of the 26th verse talks about controlling the senses and the second line talks about controlling the mind. So the idea is that I should not indiscriminately see, hear, smell, taste and touch, we'll talk about it. And I should not let my mind get disturbed by what is coming into the mind, because things will constantly come. So one is I should control my senses, not overindulge. And secondly, I should not let things that I'm seeing or hearing disturb my mind. So we say self-control. Whenever the word, we hear the word control, I mean, we don't like that. I don't like the word control. I live in free country, freedom. I want to live in freedom. But Gurudev said, not to do what you feel like doing is freedom. We think it's other way around. I should be free to do whatever I want. But whatever you want, if you do, then you become a slave. You become a slave to the sense organs, or you become a slave to the mind. The mind wants to do something, the senses want to enjoy and see, but you say, no, this is not good for me. So not doing what I feel like doing is true freedom, where I choose. This is good for me, I'll do it. This is not good for me, I won't do it. Otherwise, most of people in this world are just indulging all the time. They know it's not good. People will say, I know this is not good for me, but what can I do? The moment I see alcohol, I get caught. And it could be anything, could be food, could be an object. We know what is not good for us, but we still go out and indulge. Why? Because the mind is caught. Talking about freedom, this reminds me of a story. So there was this Russian and this American, and they were talking. And Russian says, you know, communism is better. Everybody is alike. And, you know, we don't have this rich and poor. And American says, you know what? But in our country, we have freedom. You know, we can say what we want. We have freedom. And they were sitting in Times Square. They were standing. And American says, you want to see my freedom? He says, okay. This was a time when President George Bush, the second, you know, the younger son was. He said, George Bush is an idiot. Loudly he says it. Nothing happens. People hear him and they go about their business. You know, people criticize the president, all that. No police comes and catch. See, that is freedom. I can criticize the president in public. So Russian keeps quiet. Then after a few months, they meet in Moscow. You know, they were in business dealing. And they are in Red Square. And he says, you remember in Times Square, I said Bush is an idiot. Can you say that? I challenge you. Can you say that publicly? He said, I can say it. Bush is an idiot. He doesn't want to say Putin is an idiot because next thing he will know he's in Siberia. So true freedom can be from within. You know, I have self-control, or in the case of the Russian, control comes from outside. Putin decides, or Gorbachev decides, or what you will see, what like in China, you know, the Communist Party decides what you. While at least in a democracy, we have freedom to choose, but the freedom should be tempered by self-control. And the mind should always be centered in the self. Even while I am working, my mind should be always connected with the Lord within, and that comes through practice, regular meditation and regular understanding and repeating these ideas in the mind that I should connect always with God within. That is comes. Another commentator says that these same words he interprets differently. I try to, you know, read 3 to 4 different commentaries where they say that the first line refers to monks and second line refers to us. Because the monks, like especially like the Jain monks, you know, who are very strict, they are, you know, they pull out their hair and then they, you know, live a life of extreme, especially when they are going through sadhana. They have to control their eating, control their speech, you know, keep quiet and not see too much, not hear. So intense self-control is practiced. Intense sense control is practiced by the monks. But for you and me, who are worldly people, the second line applies where his commentator says that objects will come. You are functioning in the world because we are householders. So we cannot say, I'm going to control my senses. And I'm going to not, you know, you can't, because we have to work in the world. We have to deal with people. We have to deal with our spouse, our children, at boss, with the work and all. So they say live a middle path. The monks can do the extreme path of self-control. But for people like us, not too much indulgence and not too much control. If you control too much, then your mind, unless you are that prepared at that level of the monk, then you can. But for most of us, we are not at that level. So live a middle path. Live a life of moderation. Madhyama marga, it is called. Neither too much sense indulgence and all the time enjoying and doing things which are prohibited, and not completely cutting off, but living a life of self-control with the idea that my self-control is for higher cause. So connecting with the Lord within, that yoga, that is that's why they say yogi. So these yogis connect themselves with the higher. And controlling the speech, you know, otherwise 24/7 we are just talking nonsense, you know, whether there is reason to speak or not, we talk, we pick up the phone, 1 hour we are on the phone, and at the end, what did you talk? So control the speech. Speak, and also Bhagavan Sri Krishna says, speak that is pleasant, speech that is truthful, and speech that does not hurt another individual. So control of speech. Same thing of eyes, you know, like TV. There's 100 or 150, 200 channels. I sometimes wonder who watches all these channels, you know, and they have ads and all. Who has time? But people do. Unnecessary, they'll be just flipping channels for no reason. Oh, let's just see what's on TV. Oh, what is the purpose of that? If you have like a particular program, turn it on, watch it, and then turn it off. You cannot, once you start, just go on and on. So control how much you watch, what you see, what you listen, food, controlling the amount I eat, and then periodically fasting. Where, okay, today is Ekadashi or whatever day, not to punish the body and not excessive fasting, but a reasonable amount where I skip a meal or, not to the point where I'm torturing the body. But fasting is good for the body, but it has to be done reasonably, not to punish the body and not too frequent, because, but see, I will skip a meal today, or I will not eat after this time, or I will, like that. So, or like in Christian, when the Easter is there, or when Navratri is there, if you want to do some limited fasting. And then mall, we go to a mall, say I have to go to buy something. I just go buy it and get out. Not then I go window shopping and then go through from one store to the other, and then I was there, so I just went and I picked up three other things which I didn't need. No, so, or if my friend has to go to the mall and she says, I have to give me company, you go, but then you get out. I don't need anything. I just came to keep you company. So controlling my sense organs, samyam agnishu, in the fire of self-control. And then kama also. Kama is, of course, translated as sensual desire, but any strong desire. So Bhagavan Sri Krishna says in the 10th chapter, Dharma viruddha bhuteshu kamosmi kamosmi. Dharma viruddha bhuteshu kamosmi Bharatarshava. O Arjuna, I am the desire which is not opposed to dharma. So my desires, first of all, should be moderate, controlled, and should not be opposed to dharma, not opposed to the righteousness. So if I have a desire that is taking me away from the right path, then I am going away from the Lord's path. And why should we do this? Because when you live a life of self-control, it builds inner strength. Where now I'm no longer dependent on objects to make me happy, because I am stronger. And the stronger you get, again, it's not meant to show off to the world or show how powerful I am. It is to build up this inner strength for contemplation, for meditation, for study. Why and why should we do that? Because the BMI is a temple. What is a temple? Wherever God resides is a temple, right? That's why we have Lord Krishna here, or when we go to the Hindu temple on Fairfax, there are different gods. So that is a temple where God resides. So my BMI is a temple because God, Om, the God resides within me. So just as when you, in your home, if you have a room designated as temple, you don't throw dirt in it, right? You keep that room clean. And here also we try to keep the center clean because Bhagwan lives here. So if Bhagwan lives, then I should keep my body clean, my actions clean, my emotions should be clean, and my intellect should be, idea should be clean. So I should not be throwing garbage in my body, mind, and intellect. Not eat garbage, not think garbage, not feel garbage. So what they say, garbage in, garbage out. So if my thoughts are wrong, then my actions will be wrong. If my emotions are wrong, so controlling at the thought level, at the emotional level, then only actions will be controlled. That's why they say dil ek mandir hai. Remember, there was an old song, pyar ki jisme hoti hai puja, because this is Ishwar, the Lord himself resides. So if God is in me, then I should behave like that. That's why they say BMI is a temple. And they say that God always stands in our heart, does not sit. So why does a God always stand in our heart? Why doesn't he sit? So he says that in a devotee's heart, God is standing. Why? Any desire the devotee has, I have to run and fulfill it. So the Lord is ready. Any desire my devotee has, mad mad bhakta na pranashyati, Bhagavan Sri Krishna says, my devotee never perishes. I take care of him. Whatever desire he wants, yoga kshema vahamyaham. And how about in an evil person? God is always standing because he is looking for a chance to run away. How fast can I get out of this heart of this evil person? But poor God has no choice, right? He has to be there as long as this person is alive. So they say, make your mind a temple so God can not only stand but sit comfortably. You say, Lord, sit. I don't need anything. I don't need you to fulfill my desires. I got you and there is no more desires I need. So please sit down, aram se baitho and relax. I don't need anything. And so that should be the devotee's attitude, that God is sitting in my heart and he is comfortable. Because if the heart is full of anger, greed, jealousy, hatred, God says, oh my, look at this person, look at his mind, and I have to tolerate all that? No, I'll make my mind loving, I'll make my mind peaceful, I'll make my mind calm, so that God happily sits in my mind, not unhappily. It's like some house, you know, if you go, there is so much conflict, and so you say, vibes are not good. You know, we say that. This place does not have another house where there is a lot of peace and calm and everybody. You like to go to a place. That's why when we go to a temple, we feel our mind becomes very peaceful, because people for years have been coming and praying and offering. Like even our hall, when you go there and when there is silence, you find so much silence in that hall. It's such a beautiful atmosphere. So that's what they say. Make your mind a temple of God. Then person said, still, that's still too difficult. Can you give me something simpler even? Bhagavan said, even simpler? He says, yeah, I want something even simpler.